Lord, we thank you once again for this opportunity that we can sit before you, before your word, before your presence, O God. Lord, we ask, O God, that you give us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, that we may know how to lead our life the way you want it. Lord, for we know, God, that lying under the sun, life in this world is empty. Life in this world is vain, without meaning, without purpose, without anything, O God, that will give you glory. And Lord, today as we come before you, help us to understand what it means to be wise. What it means, O God, to be under you, to be under heaven. Lord, thank you. The truth is words that you will give us today. You will make us more wise. You will make us wiser than we were before. And Lord, thank you for giving us your word. We give you all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Well, all of us acknowledge that there's a lot of improvement, just a lot of advances in medicine. You know, when I was in the hospital a year ago, I saw the advances that medicine has had for 10 years, 20 years. But if you look at medicine today, you can see that there are so many advances in diagnosing sickness and disease. But what if medicine knows about sickness and disease, but don't know about its cure? What do you think will happen? It will be chaos. It will be tragic to know what's wrong, but you don't know how to deal with it. Is wrong. But Solomon, in this book, does not only tell us what is wrong with us, with people that are without God, or people that are trying to live without God. He also has given us a cure. How many of you are glad that God has given us the problem? And God has also given us the solution to the problem. And today, as we look at the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7, we will look at wisdom under heaven or under the presence of God. But let me start with a series of questions. I would like you to look at these questions. And you answer true or false to these five or six questions. Look at these questions right now. What would be your answer to these questions? Number one question, is laughter better than crying? Are weddings better than funerals? Birthday better than death day? Are compliments better than criticisms? Are shortcuts better than slow way? What would be your answer to these questions? How many true answers do you have? Perhaps some of you will say, I have, as I said, five truths. Now, how many false answers do you have? Well, if you answer any of these questions with false, congratulations. Because according to the words of Solomon, if you're going to read the scripture, if you're going to read what he says about wisdom, he is saying that if your answer to these questions are false, you are a wise man or a wise woman. But if you see a true answer to your favor or to your to this question, you better listen more carefully to what Solomon is going to say. Well, there are questions and choices that Solomon presents to us in Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Let me read that once again. He said, a good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death is better than the day of birth. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of peace. For this is the end of all mankind, and the living related to heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by sadness of face, the heart is made glad. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. It is better for a man to hear the rebuke of the wise than to hear the song of fools. For as the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of the fools. This is also vanity. Surely oppression drives the wise into madness, and a bribe corrupts the heart. Better is the end of a thing than its beginning, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Now the question is, why is wisdom better than foolishness? What are the advantages of having wisdom? Well, first of all, Solomon is saying to us, saying to all of us, that wisdom leads to a better life. That's the first advantage of wisdom. Wisdom will lead you to a better life. The question is how? How will wisdom lead you to a better life? If you are going to read this again and again, the first thing that will come to your mind is, what in the world is Solomon saying here? What is Solomon talking about? Actually, when I read this 10 times, I couldn't figure it out. I could not figure it out. I could not understand what he was saying. But if you look it further, you would realize that there is a key word that occurs in the first 8 verses of chapter 7. And the key word is the word better. That's the key word in these verses. The key word is the word better. Solomon here is pointing out what it means to live better. It is not to be wealthy, because that is not the meaning of being of living a life that is better. It's not to live wealthier or live richer. He says there is a better way to live. And Solomon says, wisdom will lead you to a life that is better. And what does it mean to live a life that is better? Well, the first thing that I realize here is wisdom will allow you to see farther. What I mean by that is when you have wisdom, it allows you to see afar. It allows you to see beyond the here and now. It allows you to see the end. It allows you to live in readiness towards the end. How many of you know that Christian life is not a better process? Amen? To live in this world is not easy. To live in this world needs survival skills. But survival skills is not enough. You need the wisdom of God. We need the wisdom of God in order to survive in this world. And that is what Solomon is saying to us. If you have wisdom, it allows you to see afar. It allows you to see beyond the here and now. what will happen tomorrow. So wisdom is being far-sighted. It is willing to give up the short-term gains in order to arrive at a long-term benefit. What Solomon is saying here is that a wise man prepares for eventualities, for what will happen in the future. A wise man will prepare for what will happen in the future. He does not just live for the present. He prepares for the future. And many people today does not think about the future. Suppose you were given a 10,000 bucks a month as your salary. What will you do with your money? Suppose you were given $1,000 a month or $10,000 a month, would you spend all your money? Just because you want to live for the here and now, we know that would not be wise. A wise man will prepare for the future. He doesn't spend it all. He prepares for the rainy day. Amen. He prepares for the future. So he doesn't spend all his money, but he prepares for the future. Now, what does it mean to prepare for the future? What does it mean to lead a wise life before God? What does it mean to see further, to lead wiser, to enter into that better life that God has given us? What is the first thing that we should think about when we consider wisdom? Well, the first thing that we need to consider when we talk about wisdom is a good name. In verse 1, let's go back to verse 1. He says, a good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death is better than the day of birth. How many of you wear cologne or an ointment? What is the purpose of wearing an ointment or a cologne or a perfume? Of course, for other people to smell your fragrance, so that you will have a good reputation before people. That they will not call you a stinky Sally or rancid, whatever your name is. That is the purpose of an ointment or a perfume. But Solomon is saying that a good name is better than a precious ointment. And the day of birth, that the day of death is better than the day of birth. Solomon is saying to us that if you want to live wisely in this world, make this a principle of your life. Leave a good name behind. Because a good name is better than a precious ointment. Because a precious ointment will last for a day or even hours. You know, during the time when Solomon was telling about a precious ointment was precious. Really precious during the time. Remember during the time when Jesus was anointed with perfume? And how much did he or she has to give to give up 1 year worth of wages? So the precious ointment were really precious. But today, we know that it is not as precious as before. You can buy any perfume in the mall, or anywhere. It is not as precious as before. The point is, there is something more important than perfume. And that is your name. There are things in this life that money can buy. There are things in this life that you can try to put in your life. But if there is anything that will last for eternity, that will last until we die, it is a good name. Amen? A good name is better than riches. A good name is better than a precious ointment. You know, we can be caught up with a lot of things, a lot of things in this world, but the most important thing is leave a good name behind. You know what the scripture says? The memory of the righteous is a blessing, but the name of the wicked will rot. And there are so many proverbs that tells us the importance of leaving your name or leaving a good name behind. Solomon is saying here that what you do will impact generations and leave a reputation for a long time. He said a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, and favor is better than silver or gold. But you know what? Most people do not believe Solomon. Most of us do not believe that a good name is better than riches. Why do I say that? Well, many people think that it doesn't matter if I trample on people along the way. It doesn't matter if I'm unpleasant to people. It doesn't matter if I am mean as long as I am rich. That's what most people think today. But Solomon is saying, no, this is wrong. Wisdom is better if you have a good name, because a good name is rather to be chosen rather than great riches. But the point is, the reason why he said the day of death is better than the day of birth is because if you lead the way God wants you to lead, your life will be meaningful and positive and helpful. But if your life is not meaningful and positive and helpful, your day of birth is better than your day of death. Because people will say bad things about you. How many of you heard Alfred Nobel, you know, the one who started Nobel Peace Prize? You know, Alfred Nobel once, there was a time when his brother died, and he looked at the papers to see what the paper said about his brother. When he opened the papers, to his shock, he saw not the name of his brother, but he saw his name. Alfred Nobel has died. And the publisher may have mistaken identity, and so he read it, but he was shocked. But he was interested to find out what people would say about him, and so he read the papers. And what was in the paper is this: Alfred Nobel invented the dynamite. And so when he saw that, he thought to himself, what? They will remember me as the inventor of death, inventor of destruction? And so he endeavored within himself to set apart a certain money and started the Nobel Peace Prize. He looked at what he would be remembered for and decided to change his direction. And today, most of you have forgotten that Alfred Nobel invented dynamite. Most of you remember him for the Nobel Peace Prize. In other words, he changed the course of his life because he knows the importance of being remembered for what he is or for who he is. So he changed his course, his direction in life. What Solomon is saying is leave your life in the way that you will leave a good name before this world. Well, to be remembered is a good thing. To be respected is a good thing. But it is also important to be reflected. to think about your life, to think about what will happen to you after you die or before you die. Another thing that Solomon tells us about wisdom is wisdom tells you and tells me to be reflective, to think about your life. In verse 2, he says, it is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of business. Why did he say that? How many of you prefer to go to weddings than to funerals? How many of you would like to go to a wedding than to a funeral? Of course, all of us would say, yes, of course, I want to go to a wedding rather than to go to a funeral. How many of you prefer to go to a funeral than to a party or a feasting? Well, many of us would say, of course, I would like to go to a feasting, to a party, than to a funeral. But you know what Solomon says? It is better to go to a cemetery for 30 minutes than to go to an amusement park for a day, or to Las Vegas, or to Orlando for a day. What Solomon is saying is, you can learn more from a cemetery or from a funeral than to a party or to an amusement park. He's not against parties or feasting or enjoyment or having, weddings. He's saying that there's something we can learn when we are in a funeral, when we are in a time of sorrow. There's something we can learn more than when we are enjoying our time. He's not saying don't enjoy yourself or don't enjoy your family, don't enjoy your life. He's not saying that, because the scripture, especially one of the things that we study, is that God has given us everything to enjoy in life. But there's something that we need to understand. There must be a balance. There must be a balance to the enjoyment of the blessings that God has given us. Solomon is not against feasting. He's not against joy. But he is saying to us that when you go to the place of mourning, when you go to the place of death, you cannot help but lay the reality and certainty of death to your heart. So you will take to heart your life when you are in the midst of someone who died. You will think about yourself, what if I die? And all of us will die. All of us will be gone one day in this world. And when you think about your death, when you think about that time when you die, you think or you lay in your heart the importance of living a life that matters in this world. Well, Solomon is saying, don't go to the universal. I'd rather go to a cemetery. Go there. Bring your sons there, 30 minutes, and walk there. He's saying it is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of mourning. Especially today, especially with young people today, or many of us today. You know, we live in a world that is driven by it's all about having fun. It's all about being happy. It's all about enjoying life. There's nothing wrong with that. But if your focus is enjoyment in life, you will be off balance. If you don't live your life in the light of death, you're going to waste your life away. So the wise thing to do is to reflect and consider and be sobered up on how your life is going to be one day when you die. How many of you remember Psalm 90, verse 12? Moses wrote this psalm and he said, "Teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom." Lord, teach us not to number our days that we may learn a heart of wisdom. You know, many people today, when they're 30 years old, think that their life is eternal. And they live their life as if nothing will happen to them or they will live forever. So if you are 30 years old, how many more years do you have to live? If you are 40 or 50 or 60 or 70, how many more years do you have to live? So think about this. How do you want to end your life? How would you want to be remembered for the rest of your life? Of course, because we are Christians, because we are have a relationship with God, we think of eternity. So what Solomon is saying is, leave a good name with an understanding that you're going to die one day. So I would rather leave a good name than having riches in this world. Another thing that wisdom tells me is in verse 5. Wisdom tells me to listen more to rebuke than to praise. In verse 5, it says, "It is better for a man to hear the rebuke of the wise than to hear the song of fools." How many of you would like to be rebuked? How many of you would like to be corrected? No one in his right mind would like to. Nobody loves to be rebuked. Everybody loves to be praised. Everyone wants to be flattered. Everyone loves to hear from their fan club. But what Solomon is saying is, it's better for a man to hear the rebuke of the wise than to hear the song of fools. What Solomon is saying is, when people care about you, they will bother to rebuke you, to correct you, so that you will become better. The word is better. How many of you would like to be better? And then all of us need rebuke one time or another. All of us need correction one time or another. So we need correction more than praise. In Proverbs 27, verse 6, it says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, profuse are the kisses of an enemy." So it is better for a man to hear the rebuke of the wise. Why? Because the Bible says the laughter of fools is like the rattling of horns under a pot. So when we surround ourselves with our fan club, people who cheer us, who praise us, who, you know, tell us everything good about us. The point of correction, the point of rebuke is that you will live your life better. And then the fourth thing that wisdom will tell you and will tell me is that not to take shortcuts. Wisdom tells me not to take shortcuts or not to take the easy way out. In verse 7 it says, "Surely oppression drives the wise into madness and a bribe corrupts the heart." The Bible says in verse 8, it's better to be patient doing what is right, doing what is principled, than what is not. It is better to be patient in spirit than to be proud in spirit. What Solomon is saying is, Do not cut corners. Do not do shortcuts, because it's actually more expensive. It's a very long journey, because you're going to suffer. You're going to be messed up. You're going to ruin your reputation. So he says, better to be patient, to be principled, than not. So Solomon is saying to us today, wisdom leads you to a better life. Amen. Wisdom leads you to a better life. Not only does wisdom lead you to a better life, wisdom also preserves you when you are in the midst of suffering. How many of you know that as a Christian we will suffer? We will experience pain. We will experience tribulation. We will experience all kinds of tribulations and pain and troubles. There's no exception to that. But when you are, when you have the wisdom of God, He will preserve you. He will protect you. As money protects you, although money cannot really be your security. He says, for the protection of wisdom is like the protection of money, except that there is an added advantage. So money is not a bad thing, by the way. The love of money is a bad thing. Money itself is not a bad thing, but wisdom is even better. That the advantage of wisdom is that wisdom preserves the life of those who has it. Amen? You may have a lot of money on the bank, but if you don't have wisdom, you will lose all those money that you have accumulated in the bank. Amen? But having wisdom preserves your life, it redeems your life, it changes your life. And then in verse 13 and 14, and I will end with this. He said, if you are in adversity, consider this, all right. Consider this, think about this. Who can make straight what God has made crooked? In the day of prosperity, be joyful. In the day of adversity, consider God has made the one as well as the other, so that man may not find out what will happen after him. If there's anything that you cannot change in this life, it's when difficulties and tribulations come. You're going to change that. Nobody can change that. The Bible says, what God has made straight or made crooked, you cannot do anything with it. But if there's anything we know, my friends and brothers and sisters, God knows what's going on in your life. God knows how to rescue the godly from temptation. God knows how to strengthen you, how to help you when you are in times of pain, of difficulties, of tribulations. You know what it will do to you when you have God's wisdom? It will open your eyes. It will open your eyes to see that God is sovereign, amen? That God is in control of everything that happens to you. He allows things to happen in your life. He allows the pain, the sorrows in your life so that He can teach you, help you, so that you can trust Him. And wisdom allows you to pull through hard times. Because if you don't see God in the midst of your tribulations, what will you do? You will probably complain. You will probably say, God, why did you allow this? But if you see God in the midst of your trial, you will say, God, thank you. I know you are here. You are present in my life. You are present in my tribulation. You are present in my pain. You are present in my life. So I trust you, God. And that is the conclusion of Solomon. So in your life, what do you see? What have you been living? If you are wise, you will listen to Solomon's advice. He said, wisdom preserves the life of those who have it. Wisdom opens the eyes of those who look upon God because God is in control. God is in control no matter how difficult, how painful your life may be. God is here. God is there. Amen. God is there to help you. And so my friends, my brothers and sisters, whatever you have been going through, amen, God is there. Amen. God is there. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for showing us, O God, that wisdom will lead us to a better life. Lord, thank you for showing us, O God, that wisdom will protect us from the tribulation that happens in our lives. Lord, thank you, O God, that wisdom opens our eyes. That we will see. Lord, thank you, O God, that you have given us the word.